Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Nights at the Roundtable. On this episode, we're talking about abusive relationships, how to identify if you're in one, or if you're the person doing the abusing. Our good friend Jessica joins us at the table. Please, please, if this episode speaks to you or you know somebody that needs it, share this episode. We would so appreciate it. We love you guys so much. Here's Nights at the Roundtable. And what's up, y'all? Welcome to another episode of Nights at the Roundtable. It is your boy, Manuel. We got B-Real to the left, the Queen, Angela Johnson on the right, and we got our good friend Jessica O here, visiting at the table. How art thou?
I'm fantastic.
Oh, that's good. I'm
so good. Welcome to the table.
Welcome to our table, yes, where we talk some stuff. We got a little rosé for that self. B, you want to talk about it?
Yeah, it is Artia 2018, and it's got it's from France. It's from France. Alpes de Haute province.
I think it's Haute. Haute couture.
That sounds terrible.
What? But I don't know what anyways, that was.
Anyways, it's from Mansfield, Massachusetts. So,
what the hell? Yeah. So, do they really? Oh, wait. Because this is a rosé, right?
Yeah. Product de France.
True rosés. Is that the thing? Rosés
no,
have to
champagne.
Come. That's champagne. So, where does rosé have to come from? Champagne.
Rosé could be from
anywhere.
Next door.
Apparently, because this is Massachusetts. So, why the hell they say product of France?
I don't know. They be trying to get us.
Man, that's messed up.
Trying to get us for our paper.
Imported.
Maybe the bottle was made in Massachusetts and the wine is from France.
That
makes
no sense.
Oh, yeah, maybe it's...
What a weird world.
I don't know.
Pardon. Oh, maybe the vineyard's in France, but it's bottled.
Okay, that makes sense.
In Massachusetts. All right.
I don't know if that's a thing.
I'm going to try this out and we're going to see.
Give it a toast. Here we go.
Here we go. Cheers.
To a good podcast episode.
Very dry.
That's nice.
Yeah, I didn't mind it the second time around.
Do you smell cinnamon?
Let's see if you're right.
No.
Sweetness. I didn't say anything about cinnamon. I didn't say anything about cinnamon. Sorry, guys. Raspberry, strawberry, and rose.
Burberries, Gucci berries.
Gucci berries.
Yo, that would be the craziest thing. I had this random thought one night. I might have been a little tipsy. And I was thinking about like, what could be the place that some of these like luxury brands could take it? Like, what if they made a fruit? Like, that fruit could just be mad expensive. And I was like, Gucci berry.
And then when people would buy it.
Yeah, I legit went to bed that night kind of like chuckling to myself in bed. And I was like, Gucci berry.
And now you get to bring it to the world.
Yeah,
on this podcast.
Honestly. So Gucci, holler at me. Let's make a berry.
Let's make a berry.
And then ferment it. Gucci Berry Boocha.
The Berry Booch.
Hey, so today we're going to talk about abuse. This is an important topic, even though we're being hilarious about it right now. But we're going to talk about abuse and relationships and how to know if you are within an abusive relationship, have been in an abusive relationship, and mainly for the sake of how to get out or how to heal from it if you were in one, and how to maybe heal from the trauma and then be able to successfully enter into another relationship with the right tools for you to be able to identify it, and even more so just identify what happened in you and work on it so that it doesn't like find itself again within your new relationship. And we brought our friend Jessica is very brave because she's, you know, the second I had a pre-call with her and we were just talking about it and we're gonna go one way with the podcast, and then she starts telling me about her life, and then I'm like, oh, that's the podcast, we should talk about that. And she made it as a joke. She was like, if you ever want to talk about abuse, I'm so down. And I was like, Okay.
That's so weird for someone to say, though, right?
We should totally talk about it.
And we had our episode in, I think it was the first season or second season, that was like early signs of abuse. Yeah. And that was based off of our friend Elise, who went on a date with this guy. And like first date, he was like all the signs, like super combative, cutting her down, cutting her off, like just all the signs of like, oh.
Yeah. These are red flags for sure.
Yeah.
And we even, I think we found like some different articles and stuff, and we even listed some like early signs of abuse, but in no way, shape, or form claiming to be experts here. You know? But tonight we got someone who knows what they're talking about.
And that's an amazing thing, because how did you get into being interested in abuse and what it means?
I think it sounds funny that you say I'm interested in abuse.
I know. Let me rephrase that. What about this topic? Like, why did it personally connect to you? Why did you connect to it? And why did you find yourself in a vocation that now is helping people through it?
Yeah. So, I've been a therapist for a while, but became very passionate about, the topic of abuse and, survivors of abuse, after going through it myself. And I think that's how a lot of people get into what they do, is their own experiences, because they can actually connect with the people that they work with. So I was in a relationship for a couple years, and always just felt really bad about myself. And I'm generally you guys know, I'm very optimistic, right? Like, I'm the cheery.
You are very happy.
So you and Jaki together are on 12.
Oh.
12.
Yes.
That's like, why we get along so
I remember when I first was going to meet Jessica. We know Jessica through Jaki. Basically, yes. Jaki has been in my life for so long that our friends have now blended. So that's how that works. But we met Jessica through Jaki. And when Jaki was first explaining who you were and I was going to come meet you, I remember her doing like the preface like of, okay, so she's like me, but like extra.
Yeah. They don't text to each other. Yeah. They talk through rainbows. They send rainbows to each other.
And I'm like, what? There's another you out there?
Anyways, we digressed. So you're an optimistic person, you know?
So yeah. I went from being
Jaki an extra, being a little extra Jaki, to, you know, I woke up one day and I didn't really know who I was anymore. Like, I lost myself. I was very confused in my relationship, you know? At the beginning of the relationship, everything, they call it love bombing, I find out later, but
love bombing. Ooh.
It sounds,
what does that mean?
Good and bad at the same time, I guess.
Yeah.
So at the beginning of abusive relationships, a lot of abusers, they like to love bomb, which means that they like to roll out the red carpet for you.
Oh, this is like what pimps do. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like what pimps do.
They groom like their...
Yes.
So much love, and then they got him hooked, and then they go, okay, so go. Yeah. He was love bombing you.
Yeah. It's like giving him a little bit of the drug and then taking it away.
Oh, interesting.
So the beginning of the relationship was, I felt on cloud nine. Like, it was the best relationship ever. Like, he sent me flowers like twice for my birthday and then sent me another gift. And like all of this, you know, it was like an over...
Doing the most.
Yeah. Yeah. Lots of gifts, lots of attention, lots of love.
Wow.
Which was quickly replaced by some confusing things. So, you know,
when you say quickly, how quickly do you mean? Like
within the first 2 weeks.
Shiza.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
That is quick.
Yeah. Yeah. So within the first 2 weeks, you know, he was going from this guy who was telling me how amazing I am to telling me how amazing his ex is, you know?
That's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why not play the compare game?
Yeah.
Well, where is she then?
Right.
Why is she your ex? She sounds amazing.
She sounds splendid. Why don't she send me some flowers?
He literally told me that he thinks about his exes every single day because they have such a big impact on his life.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. So it also felt like his exes were in our relationship. So it was like a group dating experience.
A group
dating.
Yeah, sure.
And then intermittently he would, you know, treat me good again, but then he started to isolate me. Told me like he didn't like any of my friends.
Whoa.
Yeah. We literally went to a friend's house to pray for her because she was going to have a surgery, and we left. And he's like, "Those aren't my people." And I was like, "What?" I was like, "What do you like?" We literally just prayed for my friend because she was going to have surgery, and I was like, "What happened? Like, someone must have been mean to you."
Yeah.
And his response was, "Well, you know, no one asked me about me." And I was like, "Oh, what? Wait, what?" Apparently they were standing in a circle and all these guys were talking about broken arms or whatever. You know, guys like break things all the time. I don't know. Girls do not talk about that. and no one had asked him. So anyhow, I, you know, found myself one day just like isolated. I wasn't really talking to my friends anymore. I wow. went from being, you know, Jaki on a unicorn to just not really liking myself, not even knowing who I was anymore, you know, and kind of our relationship went from like really high highs to kind of really low lows. And it just was this constant cycle. And then by the end of it, I mean, I was really low and we broke up and it was like a, they call it the discard is what they do. They basically can go years dating or married or whatever. And then they just walk away like nothing ever happened and you didn't matter. And it's very confusing. So after that, you know, he sent me flowers again and tried to get back together. But by this time they call it this like awakening. Mm-hmm. I call it awakening. I don't know who else, but it was as if like a veil was lifted one day. And I just saw like all our 2 years of relationship kind of just like, I don't know, like came to life. Like I actually could see what was happening versus making the excuses for him. And
so wait, so this is what's interesting. You saw the first curtain being pulled open in the first 2 weeks.
But I made excuses. And it
lasted 2 years.
Yeah. So it's so funny because I was a therapist already. So people would come up to me after we broke up and found out I was in an abusive relationship. And they're like, how did you, like, you're a therapist, aren't you? And I was like, that is the, like, yes, I'm a therapist, but I didn't know I was in an abusive relationship, which, you know, I sometimes tell my, because I work with clients, and I sometimes tell my clients, like, you know, it doesn't matter what your background is, what your education is, or if, you know.
When you get love bombed, you get love bombed.
Love bombed, girl.
Is what happened. Jeez. Well, then, look, for those listening, though.
Yes.
What are some of the, some of the abusive, I guess, I don't know what the word, tendencies? What are abusive things that you can point out and be like,
signs?
If this is happening, yeah, abusive signs, I guess. Tendencies, I thought, because they're actions, but like, what are some of those? So that if somebody's listening, they can maybe like be like, oh, maybe I am in an abusive relationship, or maybe I'm the abuser.
Maybe I'm the abuser. Yeah, you're probably not going to say, maybe I'm the abuser. No one ever says that. But love bombing, you know, if someone, normal relationships aren't like this extravagant, all these gifts and all this love. And, you know, they generally, you get to know somebody, right? But these people, they fall in love. Mm. Oops, I'm not supposed to hit the table. Sorry, Jaki. they fall in love and, you know, shower you with gifts, take you on trips, like things that aren't normal at the beginning of most
relationships. So it usually happens really early.
Early.
Mm. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. He like flew and met my family after 2 weeks, y'all.
That's a lot.
Ha ha. Yeah.
That's a lot.
Jessica wasn't very smart.
But then what is another one? What is another sign?
Another one that I talked about was like isolation. So they want to isolate you from your support system. So whether that's your family, your friends, they want to do whatever they can because they don't.
I'm assuming that's so that they can easily manipulate.
Yeah. Yeah. So abuse is really about manipulation and control. They want to have control. So there's something called gaslighting, which is just a fancy term based on a movie that was done back in like the 40s. Where they try to make you question your sanity.
Mm.
So they try to make you feel like you're crazy and it works. Like I've had so many people like tell me that like, I feel crazy. I felt crazy all the time.
And you see it in the movies all the time too, where it's like the woman or the guy suspects cheating and it's like, what are you talking about? Yeah. It's never happened. It's not happening. And they literally feel crazy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because they do little things. They, you know, like my ex telling me how amazing his exes were. They place doubt in your mind, you know. I found a picture on his phone one time of a girl bending over, like it was just her butt. And I'm like, what is this picture? And he was like, oh, you're so sensitive. That's a another one.
Wow. That's a stretch. That's
super balls. That's like superhero balls. Yeah.
Yeah. You don't get it. That's a, like, you know.
Huh. One of my friend's friend recently, she found out her husband had been like DMing, sliding into the DMs with some girl. Mm-hmm. And the wife caught him, brought it up to him, and he was like, well, you shouldn't have been going through my phone.
Oh, see, okay. No, there's okay, so they turn everything around. That's a common one too. They turn everything around to be your fault, right? Yeah. So you could be like, I caught you DMing another girl, and they're like, well, you shouldn't have been going through my phone. And they're so good at it that they will get you to apologize for going through their phone.
Yeah.
That's insanity. That you told the story about that.
Yeah.
So that happened to me in my previous relationship before Maddie, where every single argument we got into, I was the only one saying sorry, and I was always the one to blame. Like, I don't know, is a term for that blame shifting or
blame
what?
Blame shifting. Yeah.
So that's what my ex did to me. So it's like, even if she did something that was like way out of pocket, and I'm like, yo, what the hell are you doing? Mm-hmm. Somehow it's like, well, you made me, you know, and it was always putting on me, like, and I just remember because I had a close friend of mine and she ended up breaking off her engagement because of this argument that they continue to have. And literally all the things that you've said right now was happening in the relationship. He would literally say, I hate all your friends. They're not your friends. He would isolate her. He would make her feel like she's going crazy. He even at one point I heard in one of their arguments, he said, the way that you see reality is not real. Your reality is not real.
Gaslighting.
What I am telling you right now, this is reality.
Wow.
Was literally trying to make her feel crazy. Like her perception of what is real. No, it's not real.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And then the same thing too. She was always like, hey, I don't know what I can apologize for more anymore. Like I've said, I'm sorry so many times at this point. I don't even know what I'm apologizing for.
That's so draining. I'm listening to it. Oh, I'm like,
it's so draining.
But what makes people stay? That's, I don't know. I want to know what makes people stay.
Well, so, and this is why it's, you know, I feel like people sometimes feel guilty for staying in these relationships. And this is why I'm so passionate about it, is because it's literally a chemical reaction in your brain that's happening. So if they equate it, you know, to a drug. So when you intermittent
fasting,
I love fasting. That too. Intermittent good. Fasting.
I was like, how's she gonna tie that one in?
If you just start
intermittent
yourself,
fasting, protein shakes continue.
If you just stop eating long enough, they will love you. That's messed up. No, because you know you always feel like you can do one more thing to, you know, if I was just good enough, they would love me. But intermittent reinforcement,
okay,
not fasting, not whatever.
Which is kind of like
that's another podcast.
It's kind of like dropping bombs every now and then. Love bombs.
Intermittent reinforcement is it's like going to the casino, right? You're playing the slot machine and they're like, it becomes an addiction, right?
Mm-hmm.
People become addicted to those slot machines because it's intermittently reinforcing you. Every once in a while, it'll pay you out. And you just keep going. Well, this is based on, you know, Pavlov's? Oh, I don't remember which. Anyhow, the whole intermittent reinforcement where like they ring the bell and like the dog comes.
Yeah.
So they realize that I think it was the mice or the dog, they would hit the thing and they would hit it more if they were getting intermittently reinforced versus if they were getting a steady reinforcement.
Interesting.
And so what they've realized is, and this is what with addiction too, you know, you're always chasing that, like you get love bombed or you get that oxytocin relief from them telling you how amazing you are and then they take it away. So it's like this cycle.
Mm.
And then you're like, you want to figure out how you get that.
How do you get it back?
How do you get it back? How do I get the dopamine release? How do I get that oxytocin back? Mm. And so I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. I'll apologize, you know? And then, okay, finally, they finally forgive you. And then they, you know, they go through the cycle again until they discard you eventually. But yeah, it's this like continual cycle that your brain is actually, so people will say things like, and I felt this, I was obsessed with him. Like, I was so in love with him, but it wasn't a healthy relationship. Like, in a normal relationship, you love the person, but it's true love. And in this, you know, with abusers, they generally lack empathy. And so they can't actually love. And so it's this very vicious cycle that your brain actually is, it's hard to step out of. They say it takes 7 times on average for someone to leave an abusive relationship before they actually leave. So they leave, come back.
7 wow. times.
7 times.
My goodness.
What did you tell yourself though that you were in love with?
So it's kind of like chasing that first high or whatever they call it with, yeah. I mean, I've never done those drugs, but I'm like, it's chasing that first high. So you're like, that person's still in there. You know, that love bombing person, they're in there. I know they are. And if wow. I'm, you know, and sometimes you'll be like, I'm just good enough, because they, you know, systematically tear you down until, so you believe that you're not good enough. So if I'm just good enough, you know, if I just stop, you know, if I just apologize, even though it wasn't my fault, like, you know.
Wow.
So was there this part of you that felt like maybe my love could change this guy?
Yes. I will be the one. It's almost like you become the narcissist a little bit. Like, I'm going to be the one to change this person, yeah. you know, but you're not the narcissist.
Yeah. I think we all kind of go. I know a lot of people that go into relationships like that.
Yeah.
They're not in any way the person is good in that moment, but I've done it before. My love will. I remember one girl I dated, and I knew I couldn't change her when we all have this story. I was at the mall and I would always tell this girl, I thought she was beautiful. I thought, you know, whatever. I would always try to let her know exactly how I felt. And we were at the mall trying on some clothes, and she had very strict rules about what kind of clothes she would wear. Always had to be loose in the midsection area because she was insecure about her midsection. No open toed shoes because she was insecure about her feet. No short, any kind of shorts or whatever, because she was insecure about the cellulite, and she was hella skinny. So one day we were at the mall, she throws on this outfit, and I'm like, oh, babe, you look great. You look amazing. You look so fly, right? She freaking looks at me and screams, no, I don't. And she slams the door in the dressing room, and she's like, I do not look good. I'm fat. I'm da 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 da. And I'm like, holy shit, she's having a meltdown. She's having a meltdown. And people are looking at me like I called her fat. They were looking at me. And I was like, I was a little bit like terrified. I had like a moment of like, oh my God, I can't change this person. But I legitimately felt if I complimented them enough, if I bought them the right clothes or made them feel special, that she would eventually believe I'm pretty. And she just never did. And that, I remember that was the last day we were together. I was like, I gotta go. I can't
wow.
deal with this.
That's interesting. I dated a guy one time that, as you know, since you've been talking, I'm listening going, check. Mm-hmm. Yep. We did that one too. Interesting. I remember I dated this guy, and he came to meet my friends this one night, and my friends are amazing. My friends are awesome, and
I kind of think I'm
we're all hilarious, and like we're just the best, right? And after that meeting, he tells me, "Your friends are really immature." Like, he starts like bashing my friends to me, but like he was so like smooth with his words, he made it sound like he wasn't bashing them, but like enlightening me. And trying to get me to be like, oh, yeah, they are kind of immature. Like trying to get me to do that. Mm-hmm. And then he would do things like, I always felt like he had this invisible measuring stick up to me and I could never measure up. He would ask me a question that I would just give my answer. And then his response would always show like disappointment or like I didn't get it right. And he would always try to fix me.
Oh yeah.
And he would give me books to read, but not like, oh, I'm reading this book, it's awesome, you should read it. But it'd be like, I think you should read this book. I think you should really take a look at this. And like where my husband, he will pick out my outfits and he'll help me if I put outfits together. He'd be like, ooh, babe, you can put that together? I don't think you should do that. Right? Where that's like he's Mr. Fashion and he cares about me. And this guy would more question me like, why do you wear shoes like that? Mm. Why? Just like question, break me down. And you said something else too that I was like, oh my God, I didn't realize that too. And that was a good reminder. And now I forgot about it again. But I remember I brought him in front of more family and friends, and he would not claim me, meaning like he wouldn't put his arm around me. He wouldn't hold my hand. He wouldn't, he was very buddy-buddy with me in front of people. And then when everyone was gone, then it was like, hey, all the cuddles, and like, come in and let's cuddle on the couch or whatever. And it was so interesting that, like, I don't know if he was like trying to keep his options open in public, but then when no one was around, then he wanted what he wanted. Like, I don't know.
Ooh, there's a new term that I learned called benching.
Oh, yeah.
We learned that?
Yeah.
He's benching you. I was talking to Bobis about that today. Like, when a guy or girl drops like a text message every other week or whatever, like you'll hear from, you have like a big conversation, and all of a sudden, you know, you're texting 2 days in a row, and then all of a sudden they're gone. But then they'll pop up the next week. Hey, how you doing? Like nothing happened. Just slowly,
just enough
to continue some type of, I know where you're at or whatever, in case I ever decide to care enough.
Yeah.
To love you. I just learned that term, benching. I mean, I've known when people do it. It's just never had a term before.
Yeah.
But I've had one time, which I kind of talked about it before, but not specifically this part. I was dating this chick for like 2-3 years in college, Bible college. And she was ahead of me. She was like 3 or 4 years older, super smart, and degrees all over the place. And she was, she never told her parents. And here I am 2 years in to this relationship, and she never told her parents that we were dating. I thought we were full-fledged boyfriend and girlfriend.
Aww.
We were to each other. But to her parents, she told them that I was just a kid from church, like just a friend from church. So I was going over there like at least 4 times a week.
Because she was embarrassed of you?
She was embarrassed because her dad's a super smart judge, and her mom's super smart. All her siblings, freaking law degree and business degree, and like, they're all just really smart people. I love them to death. Literally, to this day,
and
love them to death.
What was wrong with you?
I was just some young kid from the street.
He was a baby thug.
I was a little thug that got saved and had nothing to my name. You know what I'm saying? I had nothing to my name. I mean, I was smart, but I was, you know, I was still in college and just poor. And I don't know. I don't know if there was enough to be proud of, you know? And she just, and that was the day I found out. I've never felt more like insignificant. You know what I'm saying? But that only happened. I stayed in that place maybe about 3 days. And then I remembered, I'm the shit. What am I doing? And I was like, I'm out. And I just left. Mm. And I never looked back. It was easy for me.
So was that her, like, is there a term for that? Or was that just, she was embarrassed. Is there a term for something like that?
I don't even know if it was. I mean, she was manipulated. There was manipulation, because that was the same relationship that I spoke about before, where it was very hard for me to excel, because they would make, she would make me feel like, and if I excelled in certain areas, it was bad, or she made me feel bad for being good in certain things, you know? And she would always call it out. So
is she the one who said, I'm not going to compliment you because you already get complimented enough?
Holy crap. Did she say that?
That's...
Somebody said that. Somebody did say that to me. I wonder who it was. One of these thoughts.
So that's like a little bit of like... I remember we talked about this a little bit. Last abuse pod was one of those signs is like withholding affection. Mm-hmm. To like kind of have control over you. Because I had a little bit of that too. Like it was always like... Because I'm such a like... I'm such a lover at heart. Like, you know, I'm like, man, I just want us to be good. Like, just like, let's cuddle, you know? And so obviously touch is like my big thing. I'm super handsy, you know? And
that just,
yeah, that comes off really bad. Anyways.
It's your love language.
So yes. Anyways, touch is my love language. Okay. And so obviously my ex, knowing that, knew, okay, if I withhold, Brandon's going to be put in the place of like, hey, what do I got to do to, like, you know, like get back it. In this place? Yeah. Exactly. And then that was the other thing too. She always made me feel bad for having or wanting nice things. So when we were in the relationship, I just got done playing my first pro season. So I'm coming back like, I'm like, yo, I got cash to spend. Let's go. You know, being just stupid and young with money. And she wasn't working at that time and dropped out of school. So she's not really doing anything with her life except just like, hey, my guy's got me. And I got tired of it because I'm looking in this bag and this cash is starting to get lower than how much when I started in this. And I'm thinking, I am paying for everything for you. And then when I would buy myself something nice because I earned it, she'd make me feel bad like, oh my goodness, you're so high maintenance. Like, you shouldn't buy expensive shoes like that. And just like would literally make me feel bad. And I'm like, but I've wanted these like for a really long time. I was like, so I wanted these Balenciagas. Back away from me, you know?
I earned these.
And exactly. And so it was weird because it was almost like making me feel bad for that. But at the same time, too, this indirect way of like, you should buy me nice things, too.
Like she would never be like, why'd you buy me these Balenciagas?
Oh, yeah. Because no. It was never a complaint if I bought her something nice. It was only a complaint if it helped me. Yeah, I know.
Man.
Well, yeah. When she was saying that, that's when you should have said, oh, so do you not want yours that I got you?
That like, you don't want your matching pair?
Yeah.
It's fine. I'll
I did his
back.
And hers. I'll take them back. It's fine. Fine.
We don't need them. You're right.
Yo, that crap pissed me off. But you know what's funny? Like, this person came back 5 years later.
They always come back.
And wanted to still be with me.
They always come back.
That's weird to me. I'm like, yo, you still haven't found somebody. 5 years later, you came back.
They always come back. It's interesting because it's almost like they wrote a handbook. I was telling you guys this earlier. It's like they wrote a handbook, how to be abusive.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like nicely outlined with pictures.
They have a Facebook group. Subscribe.
Got to be invited.
It's a closed group.
Emotionally and literally.
You have to manipulate your way in.
And everyone just hates everyone in that group.
That's funny. I can see the comments. I can see the comments. Hey, I'm dating this girl and she ain't listening to me. Shut up, bitch. Stop complaining. Some of us got real problems.
A dating app for just abusers. Just trying to manipulate each other.
Instead of farmers only, it's abusers only. Or they'd have to be more clever though, because they're
Because what girls would sign up for that?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. We got off on a tangent.
So funny.
We went down a road.
I digress. We digress.
But yeah, it's like they wrote a book and all of these abusers out there read it and they're like, check, check. Because it's interesting, like, even when we're talking, you know, like, oh, yeah, that, like, you're checking boxes off of a guy you dated, right? And, like,
I'm honestly listening to the conversation trying to think, have I ever been that person? Because, like, everyone can and possibly has said something abusive or done something abusive, but that doesn't mean you're an abuser. What is the difference between that? Like someone who can say something abusive, as all humans do, like I can be manipulative towards my husband and he will call me out on it and be like, you're being manipulative right now. I did not do that. And I'm not making you feel that way. You're being insecure about this, whatever. Right. So I definitely can be manipulative, but I'm not a manipulative person and we're not an abusive relationship. So like, what's the difference? Is it just how often you do it?
Yeah, so there's a couple differences. One is that if you and Manny got in an argument and one of you said something hurtful and told the other person, like, that's hurtful, then normal, healthy individuals, they'll look at what they've done and they'll correct and then they'll move on, right? And hopefully it's not happening again and again and again.
Ooh, maybe I am abusive.
Okay, never mind. Edit that out. Just kidding.
It's funny because you're saying this and I'm like, oh, yeah. I do that. I tell her exactly what's going on.
Well, but there's also, I mean, there's some grace for that as well, just because we, you know, a lot of times we have 30 or 20, whatever age we're at, years of experience of, you know, just how we were raised. And so, you know, we all, though, to your point, you know, say hurtful things to each other, not intentionally. But the difference is the pattern of abuse. And the best way I've heard to explain this is, and I don't know if anyone's seen those dot paintings, that like the entire painting is made out of dots. And if you zoomed in on one dot, you know, it could be a period at the end of a sentence, or it could be some child dropped its, you know, marker on the floor. But when you back up and you kind of zoom out, you see this painting mm-hmm. that's been drawn by all these little dots. And so one instance, we all say hurtful things. It's just, we're human.
We've all done a dot.
We've all done a dot.
Right.
And maybe a few dots, you know, yeah. But the difference is that, you know, and if you looked at that, you could explain it away, you know, oh, my ex was saying how amazing his exes are, whatever. Okay. Maybe he's just, you know, like, the excuses you go talk to your girlfriends and they're like, maybe he's just not that smart. You know, like maybe he just doesn't know you're not supposed to say that. But then you kind of start backing up and you see the other behavior, you know, the girl that
all the other dots,
mm-hmm. you know, it wasn't just the Balenciagas, right? Like it was, she's like, all right, cool. I'm like coasting. And like, and then you see how mm-hmm. they manipulate you. And you know, if they tear you down and they take the things that you're proud of, and those are the things that they usually use against you, but they're also usually your biggest insecurities, and they know how to get in there, you know? So it's almost like when you tell them your biggest insecurities, they're like in the back of their head.
They're tools. Mm. So basically, everybody listening, take a few steps back from your relationship. If you see a few dots, that's human. If you see a full-on masterpiece art project of dots, you got yourself a situation. Yeah.
Yo, I don't know. I'm trying to think too, like I think I've had abusive moments.
Thank you for saying that. Just kidding.
Babe, I'm not really that type of person. No, okay.
I just owned mine.
One time, okay, here's what popped up. One time I did with Ange. I don't know if this was abusive though, but I'm just telling myself and then you tell me if it's abusive.
All right.
So I remember one time Ange came to me and she...
It didn't leave a bruise. It was fine. I'm just kidding.
That's different. We're not...
I shouldn't be talking back. It's fine.
No.
Just kidding.
Physical abuse is very serious. We're not talking about
Sorry. Emotional abuse. Go ahead. Continue.
One time, remember when you came to me and you said, I don't even think this is abusive, but I'm going to say it. Remember when you said that you wanted to, we were going to give your mom a new bathroom.
Uh-huh.
And I immediately shut it down. You know what I'm saying? Like I kind of came at you and was like, I kind of figured a way to like explain myself how financially that would be kind of irresponsible. Mm-hmm. Mind you, she's just talking about getting her mom a freaking bathroom. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I try to make her feel bad about it, but I definitely wasn't nice about it. And I wasn't whatever. And I don't understand why it was this way, because I love her mom.
Is it because you wanted some Balenciaga shoes?
No, I don't know what it was. This is what I'm saying. Like, I don't know if I was being abusive at that moment, but I was just like very not nice about it. And I made her feel bad and I kind of didn't want to do it. And then I had to go away and the Lord kind of dealt with me and was like, you talk all that shit before you got money about, oh, I want to, when I get money, we all do it. All the poor kids, we all do it. I'm going to get my mom a house. You know, try to make your quest for being rich noble. So you're like, no, I just want to buy my mom a house. I want to buy my whatever, you know, that's why I want money. That's why I want it. But really deep down, you just want it so you can keep it to yourself. Mm-hmm. So I remember thinking, man, you talked all that crap about how much you wanted to help. And then this girl wants to help her mom and give her mom a bathroom. And the first thing you say is, nah, I don't think that's smart. Are you sure? And I don't know why that's the picture that came up into my head when you were talking about turning somebody's strengths. Mm-hmm. And my wife is very
strong in generosity, and yeah. She's not scared of money. So I find myself, when I get scared that her decisions are impeding on my security, then I get kind of and I don't show my best side. Now, that was back then. I don't do it anymore because I've caught it.
Right. But, and here's the thing in that, like, it's questioning, is this a wise financial decision, is not abuse. The thing about our situation is we could well afford to give my mom a remodel of her bathroom. It would not affect us. So that's why it's like, why is he being so like, I don't think that's wise, when it at the time it was very much,
and it's
like,
something what? So subtle, but I wonder if that was like an abusive tendency, making her feel bad. I wonder if it was a slight manipulation. I don't know. I'm just kind of like letting this stuff come out right now as I'm hearing it. I'm
based,
like,
based on what you're saying, it sounds like it's coming from an insecurity of yours.
Yeah.
About around money.
And I'm just projecting on her.
And you're protecting the money.
And not protecting her.
Protecting your wife.
Dang,
babe, but that was bars. Babe, but that was a long time ago. I haven't done it since, right? Right? I'm just kidding.
Did you guys get her the bathroom?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I did.
Okay. And at the end of the day...
Yeah, dude.
At the end of the day, it's really what we both wanted. I just had to get out of my own way.
I feel like you need to show before and after pictures.
We did. No, it's good because we use that bathroom to this day. It's very nice. But man, okay, so continue with the story. So he did try to come back. As they most always, of them do. They always do.
Yeah.
So, what was your defense against that?
So, oh, that's a good question.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, people need tools to freaking fight back. You know what I'm saying?
Defense the best, against the dark arts.
Against the dark arts, you know?
The best defense is going no contact.
I be telling chicks that all the time. Delete from the phone. Block. Just block.
Yeah.
Block the Instas, block the Twitters, don't put it in your face.
The thing is, you know, you can do that. They can still get to you. So, you know, when I didn't answer, he just called my friends, you know, and then I felt bad because then my friends have to deal with it. But yeah, no contact. So it's hard because, again, your brain is still in that cycle of addiction almost, you know, it is an addiction. And so it felt like at times, like I was going to die. Oh, wow. Because I was having withdrawal symptoms essentially. Yeah. But I just had to what I did, and what, you know, I would say talk to a therapist who specializes in this kind of stuff, but what I did was I wrote down everything he did, and so that I couldn't forget it. And before I wanted to respond to him, I had to look at that list and tell myself, do you really want to live like this the rest of your life? If nothing changes, is this good enough?
Wow. Something so simple. Just write down everything this person did.
Yeah. I remembered that thing now. The other example, you said that he respects his exes, or what, he's connected to all his exes, or
he
something?
Said he thinks about his exes every day.
Right. Whew. I remember when I ended things with that guy. And he wanted to still be my friend. And I was like, no, absolutely not. And he was like, well, I'm friends with all my exes. And I was like, oh, no, not me. Mm-hmm. And he's like, why? And I was like, well, because I like you. Like, I have feelings for you. I had to end it because he was just so manipulative. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I like you, have feelings for you. And those feelings aren't reciprocated to me, so I don't want to be your friend. Yeah. And then he was like, well, why are you worshiping your feelings?
What?
Yeah.
See, yeah. That's another thing they call word salad.
And then, like, he called me a coward for worshiping my feelings.
Yeah. Wow. Wait, what's word salad?
They call names sometimes. I mean, it depends. There's like a whole spectrum of them. Word salad is when you ask them a question, or you call something out, and they give you this long answer that confuses you. You're literally like, what are they saying? But you don't almost want to call it out because you feel it makes you feel insecure almost. Like, so by the end of it, you're confused. And they've said nothing really, but you end up apologizing.
Okay.
It's so crazy.
it was similar to that, except it wasn't a word salad. It was like a tear salad. Whenever we'd start talking about something serious, my ex would just start crying.
Yep.
So it's like she can never get a thought across. And that shit pissed me off. I literally, one point I was like, stop crying. There is nothing for you to be crying about. Because it got to the point where I was like, yo, it's not even that serious. Like, but it was a tear salad. And then I feel...
We make up our own terms.
Then I felt... then it put me in the place where I legit felt bad because I'm like, oh, she's to the point where she's crying. I'm so sorry. And then I'm there trying to console her. And then... I never even got to get to the point I was trying to get to. We just made up a term.
Those are tactics. I guess
I call them alligator tears. I don't know why.
I've heard of alligator tears.
But I don't know. I don't know the definition.
Okay,
I thought alligator that meant you're crying
tears,
a lot.
But no,
it's just, it usually means it's for the show.
For kids, yeah. They cry just to... Those are alligator tears. They're not real. They're just doing it for the effect and to get the attention.
Telenovela tears.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, you know, like kids when the babies, like when I like 3 or 4 years old, they'll cry because they know it's going to get their parents' attention. They're not really upset. They're just like, this is how I know.
That's what we would say to Austin when he would like do those kind of cries. He'd be like, "Ay, mira, telenovela."
I guess that's it. A word salad. That's new.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's part of the gaslighting, right? To make you kind of question your sanity. Like, am I the crazy one? I think I'm crazy.
Man, I'm sure there's people listening to this doing the exact same thing. Like, I mean, just by statistically speaking, somebody who hears this is in an abusive relationship.
So the last statistics that I heard is that 15% of the population has an abusive personality disorder or an abusive personality. There are 7.5-ish billion people on the planet. That means there are over 1 billion people on the planet who have an abusive personality, and they are chronic daters, and their parents and their siblings, you know, and they affect so many people. Hmm. And so, yeah, I think that's another reason why I'm so passionate about it, is because it's affected me, but it's affected so many of my friends. I have family members who've, you know, gone through horrible divorces and now have to deal with the kids having a narcissistic father who, you know, abuse and manipulate the little kids. And little kids, they don't know how to deal with this. I mean, most adults don't know how to deal with this.
And then we just got to pray they don't grow up and be like that.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, I feel like at some point I don't want to demonize the abuser to a degree if and only if that person doesn't even recognize or knows that that's what they are, because that's really the only thing that they've seen and they've learned. Right. You know what I'm saying? Now, some people fully, I think, embody it and love it, and they know what they are, and they're doing it to usurp some kind of authority because they're addicted to authority.
Right.
And then there's other people who are literally just reacting off of what they've seen growing up as a kid, and it just feels like this is what a normal relationship is. And probably a lot of people that stay is because they've also seen it model out, and they just stay. They've seen their parents get abused, or dad was always, you know, tough with mom, or mom was always tough with dad, and it was abusive, but they stuck. So
they normalize
it. That's what it means to be a marriage. You stick. I don't know.
I mean, yeah, 100%. I think that people end up, you know, getting comfortable. And so they end up, you know, if they grew up like that, I totally lost my train of thought. I don't know.
I do it all the time. I'll be in the middle of my sentence and say, what did you just
say? What did you just ask me?
I had a real good one. It was coming.
I try not to speak over people. And so I'm like, I'm going to say that in a minute. But I'm trying to listen. And then I just completely forgot.
Did I just abuse you right now?
No.
I'm sorry. Was a word salad.
I just word salad for her.
He totally confused the crap out of me.
Am I crazy?
Did anybody else follow that?
I thought I was shooting it straight from the heart.
And I was so excited.
I just Waldorf.
It's okay, babe, because you didn't know that you were that way.
Just don't tear Waldorf salad her.
Damn, I just Caesar salad her.
Oh, We were talking about
Toss.
I'm so sorry, guys.
Having empathy for the abuser because do they know yes. that they're actually an abuser?
Thank you. Yeah. So what? Thank you, Jakee,
for the win.
Okay, so I have a couple thoughts on this. One, there are different abusers, right? So there are people who have antisocial personality disorder, and those are our, like, Ted Bundys, right? They're the ones who are very manipulative, very charming. Just so you know, a lot of abusers are very charming. So they're the people that everyone love because in public, they are so sweet. Behind closed doors, they are not. But so Ted Bundys, I mean, I don't know if there's any good in people like that. Antisocial, you know, like they're the ones who torture animals as kids. Like they will set a cat on fire and laugh and not get
Come
it.
Come on, did you see the Netflix documentary? Don't F with Cats.
Nope, I made him turn it off.
Don't F with Cats.
Yeah. On Netflix.
It's crazy. It's
totally an abuser.
Yeah.
To bring it back to point. This guy who he's totally an abuser. Yeah. Watch it if you guys haven't seen it.
But I will say for other abusers, you know, people don't stay in these relationships for 20 years, for even two, you know, even a year, if there's not good inside them, right? So they all, I mean, this is something that it took me a while to kind of get to, but people don't have to be all good or all bad, you know? Even the people who are abusers, you know, they can have good inside them, and I don't, whether or not they know what they're doing is, I feel like, debated. I mean, some people say, yes, they know what they're doing and they're not to be forgiven. And, you know, and I do think that there's an aspect of there's just brokenness inside them, you know, whether it's obviously, whether it's what they saw as a kid or experienced some sort of trauma as a kid. We know that, you know, there's this whole study on epigenetics, which is about your genes turning on and off, and trauma as a child can shut off a part of your genes that actually impedes you, or it's harder for you to deal with stress as an adult.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I just think that some people, you know, are very, very, they bounce back quicker than others. And I think that some people, you know, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I wish it did. I don't think anyone does.
Well, I know that if all of us, we can look back and honestly, at one point or another, maybe we have been a little bit of abusive. I feel like that should at least give the grace to people who are actively in it to maybe make a change. That's why I said I don't want to demonize anyone. No. But at the same time, if you do find yourself within a relationship like this, it's a little more difficult when you're married, because I don't know the right answer, because a lot of people will draw a very clear line on physical abuse, you know, and that makes so much sense to be like, get out. I don't know if such a line is drawn for emotional abuse.
I think it comes down to safety, you know, because in a physically abusive relationship, it could escalate and you could die.
Right.
In an emotionally abusive relationship, you could feel like you want to die, but you're not going to be killed by words. I mean, you could have a heart attack, maybe. I don't know.
But I wonder if some people would... I heard one person say that, and this is just an opinion, but one person said that the emotional damage is worse because the physical, it'll heal. Most of the physical damage will heal, you know? The emotional can last through generations. So it's like... But I don't feel like anybody does warrant the emotional to be like
bounced. The physical is emotional. I think I've never been physically abused, so I can't say other than, you know, my father spanking me and stuff like that. But I've never been in a relationship where a guy hit me and emotionally abused, so that I'm not speaking from experience, but I would think like being hit, like the trauma of that also lasts generations.
Yeah, so I would...
The black eye will go away.
Right.
Well, I think that's what the person meant.
The broken arm will go away.
That's what the person meant. Like, they valued emotional. Because, yes, you can have emotional abuse without physical, but you can't have physical abuse without emotional.
So I hear what you're saying.
What they were saying was that...
I told you this.
The eye...
It's my opinion that emotional abuse is what really scars people. I think 100% when someone hits you, let's say someone breaks your arm. You know that's messed up, right? Mm-hmm. But... You're not staying because you still think they're a good person. There's obviously some other emotional, like psychological stuff going on. And so I think, to your point, like, well, that physical abuse is, there's always emotional abuse with it, but emotional abuse doesn't always mean you're being physically abused.
Right. Right.
But at your emotional level.
So then what about the, I ask this because maybe there's somebody listening that is married, that is in a horribly emotional, abusive relationship. If you were in a physical relationship, everyone would scream, get the hell out. Should there be the same type of expediency or urgency with someone who's being emotionally abused? You know what I'm saying?
So
I wonder.
With,
I don't know.
When I work with people, so here's the thing. Again, it takes on average 7 times for someone to leave before they actually leave. And I don't want people to not get help because they're scared someone's going to tell them to leave and they're not ready.
Totally.
So I think you just need to, one, be super kind to people who are being in abusive relationships, because you have to understand it's not like they're, you're like, oh, you're choosing this. It's really, it's a hard choice, right? But also just meeting people where they're at. So some people might not be ready to leave, but they're ready to talk about it. Right. And that's a big step. Right. With marriage, it's a little bit different. There are therapists who work with, couples that are going through this. I particularly work with, the people who are being abused or have been abused. But I know there are people who work with narcissists and, abusive personalities. And so we can put some resources in the
description,
description if you want. But yeah, it's not hopeless, right? I think that the data on whether narcissists can change. Here's the thing. Narcissists aren't lining up to go to therapy. They're not lining up to be like, I'm messed up. I'm, you know, like I'm abusing my partner.
Study me.
Study me. you know, but they have a little bit of data, and so far it's that they don't really change. But, I mean, I like to stay optimistic, and, you know, I think that there are some therapists out there that say that, that change is possible. And I, you know, I think it's worth trying if you're in a marriage. You know, I have people that I know right now that are married and they're going through some stuff, and, they're seeking the, you know, professionals that know how to deal with it. But you don't have to leave. Like, that's my thing, is like, if you want to go to therapy or if you want to talk to your friends, like, I just feel like talking about it's better than keeping it in secret.
Well, but my question is there a point where you should
leave?
Yeah.
Oh, 100%.
Like, emotionally, because we all, again, like, we all agree that physically we can all say, you gotta leave. Like, that's it. You're getting beat up. He may kill you. Leave. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But emotionally, do we have that same kind of line, or do we just say stick it out? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the thing. Tough. I don't know. Say, like, I'm really curious about that.
People who have gone through abusive relationships emotionally, so emotional, psychological abuse, they're kind of used interchangeably, but they end up at the end of it, some of them suicidal. So it's just, I mean, yeah, your partner's not killing you, but maybe they are. So.
Or you're literally getting driven crazy.
Yeah.
There's like that movie that's coming out. Remember the movie, The Invisible Girl or whatever, Invisible Guy?
Oh, yeah. What? That looks
good. It's this movie where this guy who is abuser, he is an abuser, and he's abusing his I don't know if it's wife or girlfriend at this point, but she tries to escape from him, and she does. She gets away from him.
He's like, I'm going to always find you. I'm going to always be with you.
And so he figures out a way to turn himself invisible. Well, and so he fakes his death. He fakes his death, and then leaves her $5 million with the contingency that she is found with a sound mind. So he fakes his death, finds a way to turn himself invisible, and then haunts her.
No.
And drives her crazy to the point where she's seen as crazy, and then can't inherit the $5 million, but he's fully alive.
That is some serious
but that's what I'm saying. Like, it's crazy. But all that to say is that I've never talked to somebody or counseled them out of a marriage when they're being emotionally abused. I don't think. But I wonder if there's somebody that's listening to this that that is so down the rabbit hole of depression and suicidal thoughts. I mean, it's happened to one of our friends. I won't say her name because that's her story to tell, but.
Or his name.
Or his name, yeah. We have a lot of girlfriends
too.
But no, she was very much going towards the suicidal realm, you know, all because of just emotional abuse. And it's like,
well,
she got to the point where she was like,
just emotional abuse, but I would argue it's not just emotional abuse. It's heavy.
Yeah. And she was literally like, I find myself thinking that I want to drive into a wall or I just want to whatever. And that's when she knew I gotta go.
It's a combination of someone systematically tearing you down day after day, but then telling you how amazing you are. And so you can't possibly believe this person would do that to you, right? And or no one around you believes it because they are the nicest, most amazing person.
Yeah.
Right? So one, no one believes you. And two, you know, you don't have enough self-esteem or, you know, whatever it is that you need to stick up for yourself.
Well, you see it in the movies, and it's just, and I don't know if there's a name like this, but I only do this because I love you. I'm doing this because I love you.
That's gaslighting because you're questioning your sanity at that
point.
Like,
I love you. Like
what? Who does that? Because they love me. Like, that's gaslighting. It's manipulation.
Hmm. Babe, don't ever hit me because I'm just kidding. I'm so heavy with this. I don't like the idea of like. I don't know. It affects me in such a way because I don't understand it, but at the same time, I know that people are living it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's like not a clean answer for any of it. And I think that's what bothers me. Like there's not like a clean answer, like a very clear cut. This is what you need to do.
Well, what? I mean, I would argue that you need to go no contact with them. But I think you have to be in a place where you're ready to go. And, you know, and that's different for all kinds of people. I had a friend who knew she was in an abusive relationship for a long time. And it was it took this one day, something little, I don't even remember what happened. It probably wasn't little, but you know, like where it snapped and it was like, she was like, I can't do this anymore. Like, you know, but before that, it's pointless to tell people you should leave because they have to be in that place. My sister was the same way.
Mm.
I mean, I shouldn't have just said that, but it's fine. My sister was in an abusive relationship and, you know, like we were like, oh, it's no good. Like it was all kinds of abuse, you know, physical and emotional. And it took one time of her seeing something, you know, something that he did, it just triggered for her. And she was like, I'm out.
She finally woke up.
When you were going through it, was she a good, did you talk to her about it? Like, was she out of her thing when you were going through your thing?
Her ex is so horrible. He made my ex look like Prince Charming.
Wow.
But she was out of it.
Because of the physical.
She was out of it while you were going through yours. Like, were you able to talk to her?
So here's another thing about narcissists. And there's covert narcissism and overt narcissism. So overt narcissism is, I don't want to be too controversial, but like President Trump. I mean, obviously he's very narcissistic. I don't think people are arguing that. Sorry if he's watching.
That'd be so funny if we get tweeted by Trump.
Tweeted. They're dumb podcast.
This is trash.
They are trash.
Knights at the round table.
More sad.
Like, Knights at the dumb table. Fake pod.
Oh my God. He said,
Knights at the dumb table.
Oh, I love you, Trump. Just kidding.
So anyone who loves Trump, you know, it is what it is. So that's overt narcissism.
Right.
And then there's covert narcissism. And so covert narcissism are the people who like seem like the most amazing people that you've ever met. And then you hear behind closed doors, they are manipulating you know, and so to the outside world, they look like outstanding or excellent citizens. And on the inside, they do it behind closed doors. So, I think it was different because my sister's ex was way more overt and mine was covert. And so it's almost like when you see an overt narcissism, someone who's out there, like you see a Trump and then you meet your, you know, guy who's super nice, holding a job, whatever. You're like, he's not narcissist. Cause you look at you know, someone who is like outwardly like, I have the best words and you know, all the stuff that they say about how amazing I am or whatever. And then you see someone who's very sweet and kind and, you know, outside, but then,
right.
Yeah.
going back to what you were just saying before that, I had a moment like that that was like what I call like a shock to the system. It's like, because you're in the relationship, mm-hmm. and it's like, it's good because you're seeing signs of like, hey, she's got potential, or hey, she could be this or whatever. And I remember I was the best man at my friend's wedding. It was actually down here in Pasadena, actually. And I remember standing by him, and at their wedding, I just remember seeing the love that they had for each other. And I knew, yeah, I don't have that. Mm-hmm. And it was like, for a moment, it was like, I got to like actually feel what they were feeling, probably a fraction of that, of what they were feeling for each other at that moment at the altar. And I'm thinking, one, I didn't know that that was available. Mm-hmm. Two, I definitely don't have that. And three, I'm never going to have that in this relationship. And it was like just the shock that I needed to be like, time to get out. You know, it's funny because even that movie Get Out, right? Like they're telling these guys, he's here. He's like, get out. And it wasn't until they saw that flash from the phone. And it was like a shock to the system. Like, wow. Oh shit, this is like, it's that moment of awakening, you know? So for me, I had that moment of awakening. And literally like, I think it was like a week after that wedding, I broke up. I was like, yep. If I can't have what I experienced in that, I don't want this.
Wow.
Bye.
I think my moment of awakening was when she told me that they don't know you're my boyfriend. That was my moment of awakening. So I guess it wasn't that grand. It was just her telling me. You a chump, fool. My parents think you my friend. Oh, man.
My moment of awakening was that one time I brought him to
your birthday.
All...
It wasn't your birthday?
No. I brought this guy to meet all my family and friends at a big show that I was doing up in the Bay Area. And that's when he was like, had no claim to me until it was like nobody could see us and it was dark. And my sister saw right through it. And the next day, she was just like, he's not the one. And I was like, yeah, you're right. Like, I finally like got that cosign that I needed to like validate all of my feelings of like, am I crazy? Mm-hmm. Because he's so charming, he's handsome, he's all these things. Like, am I crazy? Like, on paper, he's perfect, but then I feel like zero when I'm around him. And then my sister was like, he's not the one. And
hey, babe, like, what did your sister say about me when she met me?
She was like, well, I'm just kidding.
He could use some work.
Well, I mean, if you're happy, just kidding.
I trust you, I guess.
Yeah. Well, it's against my better judgment, but no.
Could you imagine if you were still in that situation? Would you even have lasted?
No, I wonder. I didn't. That's why I'm not.
I'm grateful that you're not, babe.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming to the lighter side of Sears. Hey, thanks for chatting. Thanks for being vulnerable. This conversation can go on forever because I feel like there's so many ways that it could go, and I feel like there's people out there that probably would like to hear more on specific things concerning their situation. But DM us if you have any thoughts about this. We will gladly pass along to Jessica. Actually, we'll just put do you answer your DMs in your Instagram? Do you have an Instagram?
I do have an Instagram.
But do you answer it?
Is it private? Is it public? Do you have a work thing?
I need to figure that out.
She doesn't know. She doesn't figure it out. Okay, so maybe
we'll put some sort of contact info.
Yeah, we'll put some contact info so that you can contact her or just DM us, and we will gladly attempt to answer any questions or get advice from someone to answer the question. But talk to someone. I guess the first step, like she said, is very important, is just to come to the point where at least you're ready to talk about it. But we incredibly love you. Thanks for listening. If you listened to all the way through, we are so appreciative. If you're watching on YouTube, smash the like button. Please subscribe. Hit the bell. At this point, we will have our merchandise out. Brandon right now is wearing one of the shirts.
Hello, Brandon.
On YouTube, you see it. Knights at the Round Table. It's available. You can pick it up. B is the one that designed it. We're in-house here.
Oh, yeah.
We're in-house. We're just trying to keep it real. And other than that, share, tell your friends. We appreciate it so much. And we end it with this benediction. We hope that you find a seat at the table. But if you don't, you are always welcome at ours.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Think about you now that you are gone. Let's be honest, you ain't give a damn about my wants. Thoughts of you and me are like the first of every month. If I don't learn to face them, they'll just keep on piling. No, yeah, I don't wanna talk, I don't wanna think. Bitch, if I was woke, I would tell you out my dreams. I know that's aggressive, what the hell did you expect? You took everything and when you did, I lost respect. Man, I don't know if me and you will ever make it right. Sides to the story, there's the truth and then your side. I know you just mad cause I just keep on making strides. I'm just reaping what I'm sowing, take advantage of my life, yeah.
You don't get no love from me. You don't get no love from me. You don't get no love from me. You don't get
I got the thing fixed. You make excuses, but you never make sense. I pay it forward, you don't even pay rent. What goes around comes around, that boomerang. Yeah, you would take my credit card and spend a lot. Just the front like you was making what you not. Now you calling me like you just need some cash. I ghost like Whoopi, nigga, I don't answer back. Feel real good, don't have no drama in my care. Bank accounts looking like I just robbed a bank. Name Manuel, nigga, but I'm just being frank. Mood on 10, my nigga, I did what you can.
You don't get
luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.